Good morning, my name is Laura, and unfortunately we can't be with you this morning because as a family of six, there are five of us who are COVID positive, so we're isolating at the moment and we're recovering. We're not doing too badly. But I wanted to preach this message to you guys this morning. So as a church, we are doing the NT90, reading the New Testament in 90 days. And last week, Jeff preached from Romans chapter 10, 11 and 12. And as I was preparing for this week, I had to keep going back and double checking that I had the right book, that I had the right chapters in which I was looking into and preaching on, because we are flying through the New Testament now. We are flying through books. And it's been really encouraging to hear your stories and to also read all the comments that you're leaving on the Bible app as we read through this. So if you haven't looked into the NT90, you can find out information on our website. But today's reading is from 2 Corinthians. It's from chapters 1, 2 and 3. So 2 Corinthians is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and after he went to visit them. And I want to take a bit of a wider view this morning, explain a little bit about this book and why Paul wrote it. So 2 Corinthians, although it is the second letter to this church in our New Testament, it is actually probably about the fourth letter that Paul wrote to the church. And unfortunately, due to history and time or whatever circumstances, some of those other letters have been lost. So Paul wrote his first letter to this Corinth church, like other letters he wrote to other churches, to talk about things that were happening in the church, to address some big problems that were going on there. Many in the church rejected Paul's teaching because of this letter and rebelled against his authority. So Paul went to visit them in person, and he called this visit a really painful visit. And after that visit, he sent them a letter that he wrote, and he says he wrote this letter with tears and anguish. But as a result, the people of Corinth, the church in Corinth, realized their arrogance and they apologized and they wanted to reconcile with Paul. So now we come to 2 Corinthians, which Paul is writing this letter to rebuild relationships with the people there in the church. He was writing that to tell them that he loved them and that he was committed to them. But as he's writing, like always, he deals with some problems that were coming up in the church. Some people had come into this church, and Paul says in chapter 11 that these people were what he called super apostles. They changed the good news about Jesus. They taught things that Paul didn't teach, that were simply misleading and false. And unfortunately, the church, the people in this church, were getting sucked into their teaching. In Corinth, it seemed that these super apostles, people who came after Paul were teaching these things, were attacking Paul in person and casting doubt on what he was teaching. This is pretty amazing considering that Paul was the one who went there in the first place and taught them all about Jesus. He was the one who shared who Jesus was, and they came to faith through his teaching. He was their founding father. And yet these so-called super apostles came in and they started to question who Paul was and his authority. These guys, Paul says, they had eloquent speech and they were really wealthy. And when compared to Paul, who apparently wasn't an impressive public speaker, they started to question Paul. And that's something I'd actually never noticed before as I read through 2 Corinthians. I always imagined Paul to be that kind of guy who had really eloquent speech, that he would be up the front of the church with that radio-style voice, that deep, beautiful voice to listen to, and would draw people into his message to captivate him, to captivate people to the message of Jesus. I never noticed, but Paul says this about himself in chapter 11, that he was an unskilled speaker. Chapter 11, verse 5, 6, he says, "But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I am not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way." So these super apostles were eloquent speakers. They promoted themselves and they badmouthed Paul. They charged big bucks for the pleasure of them teaching in the church there. And the people were sucked in and started to not believe what Paul was speaking about. So as I explain this about Paul and the bad mouthers, you might be thinking of a time when someone has spoken or misspoken about you, a time when some rumours have been said to make you look bad, a time that someone made up a lie that made you look terrible in other people's eyes, that made you look like an idiot, a time that you lost friends because of gossip that was spoken about you. And I can remember a time in my life when this happened. I remember when I was an intern at a church in youth ministry, and Jeff and myself were looking at coming onto staff, so moving from internship to staff members. And there was a delay in the process, and some weird stuff was happening, stuff that I didn't understand at the time. But I later found out that a man raised concerns about me, and he didn't clarify this with me. He said that he didn't think I was trustworthy because I had broken confidence. This concern wasn't brought to me. He didn't have a conversation with me about it. He didn't clarify it with me. He just took it to the elders without any backup or any context. So if you know what it feels like to have someone speak unfairly about you or badly about you, you know what Paul's feeling like when he's writing this letter. Paul wasn't there in Corinth at the time to defend himself, and these super apostles didn't bring their concerns to Paul himself and talk to him and ask back and forth and ask to clarify what was going on. They just talked about him behind his back and discredited his ministry. So if you've had someone talk about you unfairly or in a bad way, I'm really sorry that you've been through that. And I hope there are some things in this passage that are really helpful to you this morning. So let's come back to the start of this letter, because Paul isn't just talking about bad mouthing. He's stressing out about a lot of things. He's been through a lot. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9, "We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die." You might have heard that statement, "God will never give you more than you can endure or more than you can handle." If you've ever said that phrase, I am certain that your motivation in saying that to someone was to comfort them, to offer them encouragement. I have never heard anyone say this with bad motives. But unfortunately, this statement doesn't line up with what Paul is writing about or experiencing here, or what he taught. Paul was crushed and overwhelmed beyond his ability. Paul, who spends an awkward amount of time in this book defending his faith credentials, wasn't always healed. He wasn't always blessed with nice things in life. As I look around the world, as I think about countries that are in war at the moment, I think they would really identify with Paul's statement here, that they are overwhelmed, that it is too much to bear. Not knowing if you will see your loved ones ever again, sending children and grandparents across borders, but staying back to defend yourself. Going out to try and find some food for the day, not knowing if you will find food, or not knowing if you'll even have a home to come back to. There are times in our life where we face hardships, where we face pain and suffering, sickness, and it does feel like more than we can endure. You've had things in your own life that are way more than you can endure. And maybe that's how you're feeling this morning. Maybe you can put your name in this sentence. I am crushed and overwhelmed beyond my ability to endure, and I don't know how I will live through it. Overwhelmed to the point of not knowing how you will cope. Overwhelmed with grief to the point you don't know how you will get out of bed in the morning. Overwhelmed with the prospect of medical treatments and unknown side effects. It is more than you can bear. And that phrase, "God will never give you more than you can bear," isn't actually anywhere in the Bible. And if you have ever said that to anyone, I'm not here to make you feel bad, because I know that you have done it with the right motives to try and encourage and support and comfort someone. But if you have been said that and your situation has been overwhelming, I am really sorry. If you are feeling overwhelmed, you are not weak. If you are feeling overwhelmed beyond your ability to endure, it doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. It doesn't mean that you are not blessed. If you are feeling overwhelmed beyond your ability to endure, you are in good company, like the Apostle Paul, a man who met Jesus in visions throughout his life, a man who wrote over half of the New Testament. You are in good company. Paul had a life of suffering, and he goes on in chapter 11 to describe some of the events that happened in his life, some of the things he faced. He says he was beaten with rods, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked 3 times, he was in the ocean for a day and a night, he faced storms when he was traveling, he was beaten by robbers, he was naked, he was hungry, he'd been falsely accused, and the list goes on. He faced more in his life than I can ever imagine. And one of the lies that these super apostles were saying about Paul, that he was weak and that he was not blessed because of this persecution and suffering that he faced. He wasn't blessed by God. How could he be an apostle? How could he have authority and teaching when his life was like that? They were questioning, how could you be a true follower of Jesus when you suffer so much and you are under persecution? And the people started to think less of Paul and were actually ashamed of him. How could you be a Christian if you are poor? Surely that's evidence that you aren't blessed by God. Surely you can't be an apostle because God blesses those he loves, right? The church elevated these false apostles, these false teachers, because of their wealth and their eloquence. And Paul lacked all those outward signs of God's blessing. But he goes on to remind them in his letter about his credibility, because he had all the credentials. He could take these guys on, because before Paul knew Jesus, he was a Pharisee, which meant he had memorized the whole Bible. And if they want to brag about superior knowledge in Jesus, Paul says that Jesus had visited him many times in visions throughout his life and revealed everything that he had taught to them. If anyone should be called a super apostle, it should have been Paul. And if God did rate blessings and give blessings of wealth and eloquence and health and prosperity based on what we have done, then Paul should have been the most blessed person on earth. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He founded so many churches and he carried on the mission of Jesus. And from everything we know in the New Testament about the kingdom of God, we know the kingdom of God has upside down values to what the world offers. It is different. God doesn't place value on money, status, or leadership. God values servanthood. He values serving those around us and not lording it over people. He values following him, even if it means persecution. And we talk about suffering, and we have talked about suffering a fair bit here at church, because it is a reality of our lives and the world we live in. And all through the New Testament, we see followers of Jesus who have suffered as a result of their faith. And they rejoice in that. They say that God uses it for joy, for good. And at the end of this letter in 2 Corinthians, Paul writes a very famous verse in chapter 12. He says in verse 10, "That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in insults, hardship, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong." As followers of Jesus, we should expect those moments when it is tough, when it's hard to follow Jesus, when we come under persecution, or when we are overwhelmed with suffering. And I've said this before, I don't have all the answers when it comes to suffering. This is such a large, huge topic, and it's really hard to grapple with. I don't know why God allows some things to happen and intervenes sometimes and just allows things to go on other times. Why we see miracles in some places but not other places. I wrestle with this all the time, and I think it's okay because we don't have clear answers in the Bible. Suffering simply is sometimes more than we can bear. But suffering never means that you are weak, and it doesn't mean that you are not blessed by God. Because if anyone shouldn't have suffered, it should have been Paul. He was chosen by God to spread the good news to the Gentiles, those outside the Jewish faith. Surely God would protect him from suffering. Did all these things mean that Paul was weak? Did all this suffering mean that he was not blessed? Did it mean he was not successful? Not at all. In fact, God, use that suffering to make him more successful in ways that matter. Continue on from Paul wrote where he said he was overwhelmed. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raised the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And you are helping us by praying for us. Then many people will give thanks to God who graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. It was a result of their suffering and overwhelmed that they stopped relying on themselves and they relied on God, God who has the power to raise the dead. And they also relied on each other in prayer. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke on a passage from Luke where Peter, the disciple of Jesus, is asked by Satan to be sifted like wheat. And there are spiritual forces at work in our world. There is pain and suffering. God doesn't cause it. It simply exists. But despite suffering and spiritual warfare, Paul and his co-workers kept relying on God. He goes on in chapter 4 to say in verse 16, that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In this world, Paul really does lack the outward signs of success. He is afflicted, he is perplexed, he is persecuted, and he is struck down. But this only explains his outward condition. Spiritually, he is not crushed. He is not driven to despair, he is not forsaken, and he is not destroyed. And when you compare these things to his present troubles, the things that he says he cannot endure because they are beyond his ability to endure, they are small when compared to God's glory and what is to come. They aren't beyond God's ability to help him endure, and they will produce a glory that vastly outweighs his suffering, a glory that will last forever. As you trust in Jesus and as he is renewing you, he is with you. And I know it probably doesn't feel like it when you are in the midst of suffering, but it will pass. And Jesus says that it will produce a glory that outweighs what you are feeling and going through now, a glory that outlasts and lasts forever. We can hold on to that and we can hold on to Jesus. It's hard to do, I know, when you are in the midst of suffering, when it is overwhelming. But Jesus has not abandoned you. You are not weak and you are still blessed. Suffering doesn't have the last word. Paul writes at the very start of his letter to the church in 2 Corinthians, he says in chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. God is the source of all our comfort. And when our suffering and our feeling overwhelmed passes, we are able to comfort others. But this is not something we have to rush. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to take time to heal, to recover, to get help we need from others. God has given us people to be in community with, to live life with. We are not alone, and we do not have to face our suffering and whatever situation is overwhelming us alone. We have others to be with in those times, to sit with and to be with. I remember when our kids were babies, we had 4 kids under 5, and there are times where you are so sleep deprived and overwhelmed when there is crying and tears and you don't know what to do and you are at the end of your situation. I know what it feels like to be overwhelmed in those circumstances, but now coming out of that season, it is a real privilege and an absolute joy to sit with others and to be there with them in their time of need in those early years of motherhood. But in all of that, I know that God is our source of comfort. Whatever you are facing, whatever you are going through, God is with you. And eventually we can be a comfort to those around us. If you are feeling overwhelmed in your situation, if you are feeling like you can't go on, I encourage you to cry out to Jesus. You are not weak. You are not lacking blessing. He is here to comfort you right here and right now. And there are people around you to support you and be with you in your situation. But it does take courage to speak up and say, I'm not okay. If you're not sure who to talk to, speak to someone you see on stage this morning. They would love to sit and pray with you and be with you in your time of need. We are a church, and God has called us to be with each other and to rely on each other and to be a source of comfort, especially when it comes to those vulnerable situations that we feel when we are overwhelmed. But most of all, God is our comfort in those situations. So let me pray for you this morning. Jesus, thank you so much that we have examples in the Bible, like the Apostle Paul, where we can see from his situation that even though he is overwhelmed, that it was beyond his ability to endure, that you are with him in that time and that you are also with us in the season we find ourselves in. I pray particularly for those who are feeling overwhelmed this morning, that you will give them an extra measure of your peace, an extra measure of your joy and your comfort, that you will be with them. And as they put their hand up to say, I need someone around me, I need someone to sit with me, that you will provide the perfect person for them. Jesus, you are with us. You are blessing us. You blessed us and you love us. Thank you that you are the ultimate God who loves us. In Jesus' name, amen.